Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 46 of Positivity Spartans. Yeah, you heard that, episode 46. We are getting up there, and I'm excited. Today, I'm with my co-host, as always, Marcellus Majestic James. What's going on, Mr. Controversy?
Man, I swear, I'm just the spoon carrier, and everybody else wants to stir the pot, because all I do is just ask questions, and for some reason, people just get pumped up about them.
Yeah, for sure, man. I tend to be on your page a lot, man, because conversations just tend to break out, and I indulge in all those opinions and all that side chatter, man. It's interesting. It's very interesting. So. I like it. We are joined today by a super special guest. You know, one of the reasons the Positivity Spartans exist today, Miss Valerie Anderson, the mother of Marcellus. How you doing today, Miss Val?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, I love to hear it. Thank you again for coming on the show. We greatly appreciate it. You know, saying, I know Marcellus appreciates it, having his mom on the show. It's dope. So thank you for that. Thank you for being here.
Not a problem. I wouldn't miss it. I'm very proud of you guys.
Oh, we appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, we trying hard. Like we said, we had episode 46. We pushing for that 100. So we just making it happen. So Ms. Val, how you doing? How's everything going? Give the people a little bit of background about what you do so they know about the topic today.
I'm a correctional officer at the Lebanon County Prison. I've been there 15 years. It's probably the best job I've had, actually. I love interacting with people. Just for the record, everybody in jail is not bad people. Some people just make mistakes, you know, and to have someone there that understands that means a lot to them. So I've built quite a reputation for myself in this town. We only moved here 15 years ago. Didn't know many people, but now I think I know everybody. but in a good way, you know, not too much negativity. Of course, people, right, you know, tend to be very uncomfortable and not happy with people who has to enforce the rules, which is what I do. Mm-hmm. But we get through it. We get through it, you know. And I'm just glad that you guys are on this side. Because, as I said, you know, everybody in jail are not bad people.
Right. A lot of times, you know, it's product of circumstance, you know, wrong place, wrong time, things like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just, I see a lot of it, especially in the women, just not being taught self-love, you know, mm-hmm. having someone to teach you that you are important and it doesn't matter how you look. And then, you know, they get out in these streets and they get hooked up with the wrong, not all, you know, the girlfriends, and it just leads them down the wrong path.
Right.
You know, but.
Yeah. Especially in like a small town like ours, you know, it's real tight knit, but not tight knit at the same time. You know, if you fall into the wrong crowd, you know, it could be detrimental, like you said. Absolutely. End up seeing you every day. And not that that's not a good thing, but, you know.
Right. No, I totally understand. I do. And like I said, it could have, you know, it could happen to anybody. So,
absolutely.
You know, I just say, as people older, you know, always sit down and kick it with the young folks. You know, mm-hmm. Let them know. I mean, you know, they always say experience is the best teacher.
Absolutely.
But when you sit down and you take that time with them, they actually hear you. They do. And most times, you know, the way society is today, with both parents trying to work and provide, you know, they need that outside source, whether it's a cousin or an uncle, a close friend of the family. They need somebody to tell them, you know, that life ain't all bad, you know?
Right.
Because there's so much negativity going on around them that they do get caught up in it.
Yeah. And it takes a village, you know, and it's tough with, especially, you know, in times of this pandemic as well, you know, people are kind of like scrambling, you know, trying to find jobs or working two or three jobs or just not having enough time. And it makes things that much harder.
Yes, and it makes those vultures out there, you know, it makes them stronger because you are focusing on providing and not really focusing on, you know, other things that's just as important. Right. I think sometimes we forget the importance of teaching our children about the bad stuff. You know, we always want to shelter them and hide from those things because nobody wants their children to go through it. But I mean, the truth of the matter is they will experience it all at some point in life.
Right. Unfortunately.
Right. So we have to try and teach them, you know, about it in a positive way, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, it definitely.
Yeah, so it's important. And hug your babies every day. Tell them you love them, no matter what goes on, you know. Even when they do wrong, I still love you, but you're going to have to take this punishment.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. For sure. Yeah. That tough love, you know, it's needed. You know what I mean? Because yes. life, there's no sugarcoating in life. You know what I mean? Like, once you get hit with something, that's it. You know, nobody's going to be like, oh, well, you didn't know. And ignorance isn't always bliss. So when you have somebody who can keep it real, give you that tough love, be straight up with you, it definitely plays a huge part in the development of younger people.
Yes, absolutely. And these kids are our future, you know?
Yes. Yeah, I say that all the time. I agree wholeheartedly, man. These kids are the future. And it's just crazy, you know, the climate with everything going on, you know, it's a little scary at times, but you know, it's not, as crazy as it is to say, it's not anything that, you know, the United States has been through. It's just now it's being recorded more. It's being viewed more.
There's cameras.
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah. Which is a good thing, you know, because that's what brings about change. Those cameras don't lie.
Right. Right. The body cam footage, everything, you know, we got social media now and people can make, well, hopefully they use social media to make well-formed opinions. You know, me and Marcellus, and I'm sure, you know, some people just, they just don't get it.
Yep. It's like talk to a wall. But you got to try. You got to at least give them a chance to learn. And if they don't want to accept it, that's on them. But you got to at least try.
Absolutely.
And like I said, they listening. You know, they listening. It's just... It's like you got that quick second to make that decision.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people realize that. You know, most people haven't been in situations where it's life or death. You know, I've been in that sort of situation where, you know, a split second could have cost me my life. And you really do act off instincts. Now, I'm not saying that, you know,
right,
to justify flight. Anything going on. You know, it's just... When shit hits the fan, sometimes shit hits the fan. Even you as a civilian, you may be in the heat of the moment doing something. You may not realize, you know what I mean, what's going on around you, and you've made a fatal mistake.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I say to them every day when I go to work. This is a job. Don't let the uniform fool you.
Right.
You know, I'm a person just like you when I go home every day. I have a family that I love that I will die and go to hell for.
Right.
You know, so... It could happen just that quick, you know.
Now with your profession doing what you do, do you see not necessarily as much backlash, but do you tend to like see that effect on your job?
I do, but there's always those people.
Right. Right.
Those people will always exist anywhere you go in life, no matter what you do. You know, and I just stay focused because my focus is to help those people that are there. A lot of people in my profession are in the profession for many different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they don't pay enough for people to really get involved and care. You know, it's just a job to them. But every day you go in there, you know, people look up to you. They base their life off of things that you say while they're there, you know? So you have to have that positive energy or else it's going to be a bad day for everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
I just, you know, and that's how I go to work every day. And a lot of them are younger people whom I have children their age. So I think that helps me as well at, you know, in experiencing dealing with them because they have been
you know, through some similar things that my children been through. But you just gotta love it. It's one of those things that they're gonna pay you enough to do. You know, yeah. You just need to love what you do.
I definitely commend you for doing it, because honestly, I don't think it's a job I could do, honestly.
Right. It's not for everybody. I bet you I've had about at least a couple thousand coworkers that has came and gone in the time that I've been there, because they figure out it's not for me. You know, when they apply, it's a job and they're going to pay me. That's how they look at it. But once they get there, the things you have to deal with, and it's just not doable for some people.
Right. Yeah, and that's totally understandable. It's like the Army. The Army's not for everybody.
Nope.
at all. You know what I mean? The Army's not for everybody. Some people, they get in and you know, a couple months in the basic, they're like, whoa. You know what I mean? Right. So I can only imagine, you know, dealing with the things that you have to deal with. And especially, you know, it like during COVID, I can imagine that got pretty tough.
Yes, it was rough in there. Although I must say the people that were there dealt with it very well, much better than we expected. The numbers were low. We tried to keep the numbers low as possible to keep the spread down. Right. But again, that's one of those things that you can't control. Right. You know, they were stripped of their visits, which could be detrimental to many, not being able to see their loved ones. Mm-hmm. But, you know, different companies stepped up and helped them out and made sure that they had writing materials and gave them free phone calls and things like that. And, you know, it worked out. It worked out a whole lot better.
That's great to hear. Yeah. That's great to hear, because, you know, like they're not afforded freedom. You know what I mean?
No.
The little freedom that they had was just stripped away like that. That, like you said, is detrimental to the mental health of those people.
Oh my God, yes. Mental health is so real. People don't get it.
Yes. Yeah, we're big advocates here.
Yes, it is. And it's everybody have mental health, whether you want to admit to it or not. You know, you go through things in life that you didn't know or that you don't know about. You don't know how to deal with about it. Grief, all kinds of things, you know, the children transitioning to adults is just like you worry and all of that is mental health, you know. Nice. And in our communities, you know, we were raised that there's no mental health. You suck it up, you have to be strong, you gotta be tough. And
right,
you know, that's not always the case, because everybody has a breaking point, you know. So it's important for you guys too to know that, because as the men, you know, the head of the family, you guys carry a lot of weight. And a lot of times y'all don't communicate that, which is important. Rather you communicate it to a friend, or you need to sit down with, you know, some professionals. You guys need to get that information that you need to get through what you're going through in your life. Because I know you guys do, because your family look to you for so much.
So, since we're speaking on mental health, do they offer free mental health resources to the officers?
Well, we can go out to mental health because we have the health insurance, but it's not like somebody comes in to see us, which I think is important, because, you know, after seeing so many things in the workplace, you know, things that the public and normal everyday life you wouldn't expect to see, it is damaging to the staff, you know. And you have to be strong in order to keep going back to that, and it's something new all the time, you know. No, they don't, and I feel like they should. I think that's very important, especially to the younger generation.
Yeah, agreed. You know, because like we keep saying, it's important. Mental health is important. And, you know, it's coming to the forefront more, which I definitely appreciate. You know, more people are talking about it. Uh-huh. But, you know, jobs and stuff definitely need to put it in place to where they have, you know, mental health available for employees, you know, and especially in, how can I say this, like high high emotional occupations like yours, you know, where you're dealing with a lot of, you know, different people in different circumstances and things like that, and you never really know what's going on inside your head.
Right. And those people become a little more than just people to you, because, oh my God, I've been there 15 years and there's people that have been there 15 years with me.
Right.
You know, right. Back and forth. So it's like, I know their children, some of their children I've held and that they haven't even held yet. You know, I watched them grow up and become teenagers, and so they become a little more than just work. You know, right. You're involved every day, and it's important to know what they're going through so that you can help them. So I really believe that mental health is a very big deal.
Isaiah, to elaborate on how much of an impact my mom has, like, we can't go anywhere without seeing anybody associated with Lebanon County Prison. Like, anywhere at any time, we'll just get stopped, and she just stops and talks to that person and catches up with them and stuff.
And it's crazy, like,
she's so good at her job, she knows if, like, that person is actually, because most of the time it's, like, drug-related or something along those lines. So she'd be like, oh, that person's actually clean, I'm happy for them. Or she'd be like, they high as hell.
Call it like it is.
I'm going to see them in a few weeks because they're breaking their parole or whatever. Right. So.
Yeah, because that's just like, you know, coming home every day to my family. I know my family. Right. Honestly, I think I spend more time at the jail with those people than I do at home. So, yeah, you know, it just becomes a part of you. And they tell you, oh, no, you can't. Well, you're not human if you don't have those feelings towards human beings.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I make it my business not to know people charges, because everybody has their feelings, and you don't want to develop feelings towards an individual when this is your job. This is what you have to do. I don't really care to know what your charges is. My thing is to take care of you while you're here.
Right.
And that's, you know, how I spend my focus.
Right. Because so. The purpose of it is, you know, to rehabilitate.
Exactly. And a lot of people forget that they're not there to be punished. They're already punished. By being there, you know? So, and again, you know, everybody goes at their job in a different manner. And I think it actually works, you know, to some extent when you got the good guy, the bad guy. But
there has to be limitations.
Yes, because people get, how they call it, the power struggle, you know? Everybody wants to be in charge.
You ever hear of the Stanford experiment?
Yes.
Yep. So that's essentially what happened.
I'm not familiar. Put me on.
So Stanford experiment, at the University of Stanford, they decided to do a psychological test. They took, I believe, 6 people, and they made them officers, 3 of them during the day, 3 during the night. And then they took, I believe, 12 people and made them prisoners. Right. And they just set up in the basement of a building and they just let them go. And it was like, all right, these people are prisoners. These people are officers. Right. That experiment didn't last a week. They had to shut it down because they didn't give them any rules. They just put them in there. Yeah. And people became pretty much obsessed with the power and, you know, just did way more than they were supposed to.
Absolutely.
And one of the people actually had a mental breakdown. And the crazy thing is, like, the whole thing was voluntary, but they were so sucked into it. One of the people that were playing the role of a prisoner, he had a mental breakdown, and it was like, all right, we gotta stop this. This isn't working out.
And it's real life. That's the way it plays out sometimes. Everywhere, you know, people get into the power struggle, mm-hmm. and some people, you know, the compact of the negative things that you deal with does begin to affect people. Yes. They don't know how to express it because they don't want to be looked at as they can't fulfill their duties or their responsibilities, you know? So they kind of you know, continue to compact it, and then they break, because you can only take but so much when you don't have an outlet.
Right. And, and that's what it is. When you bottle up all those emotions, it's only, only a matter of time till, you know, the bottle snaps.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. It doesn't matter how strong you are, you know, right. And they should definitely put more, investment into their officers, police officers, anybody in public service, you know, EMS. I mean, that's another job that, you know, it takes a special kind of person to do. It's just, they need that. They need to make mental health, you know, they have mental health evaluations before you get hired.
Mm-hmm.
After that, you know, then it's out the window.
Right. There's no follow-up after, you know, incidents or things like that.
And it's important. Maybe that's something we can start working on to try to make better for you know, the new people coming along, because it is a lot. Things have changed so much, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, for sure. I really love the angle of, like, this conversation, because you're so focused on how your job is to help, where I feel like there's a negative stigma, you know, for correctional officers. And it's not even, you know, your fault or your coworker's fault, but, like,
right.
A lot of times in movies and media, you guys are painted as, like, the bad guys. But hearing you talk about your job and how you care about each person in there, it's definitely refreshing.
Oh, my God, yes. And there are some people that, you know, hold some truth to what people believe and what they think, but it's just not everybody, you right. know, and you know how it is, the blue coat, nobody wants to turn nobody in, and you know, it gets challenging to deal with every day, you know, to see people who shouldn't be in the profession, and it doesn't make you a bad person, you mm-hmm. just, this job ain't for you.
Right, like, yeah. Right, move on, do something else. Like,
yes, absolutely.
Anything,
I agree.
Toying with those people's lives and making right. it harder than it is not the answer.
Yeah,
it's like you said, that negative very energy.
Vulnerable. Yes, absolutely. Leave it outside.
Yeah, you bring it in there, and then it has no place to go once it's in there, and then it festers, and then it makes your job harder. It puts you in danger. You know what I mean? It affects everybody.
Yes. That is the truth. And, you know, most people are selfish and self-centered. They're not thinking about, you know, the long run, what the outcome could be. But again, things are slowly getting better, but they are getting better.
Yeah.
So I'm real happy about that. I'm proud to say that we have a female warden now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's dope. Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. That's awesome.
Oh my God, yes. We have a female warden, and she's doing a great job. She really is. I've worked with her the entire time I've been there. Yeah. She went from a counselor to becoming the warden.
The warden.
Of course, yeah, she took some steps along the way.
Right.
But she did it. She did it, and I think she's going to change the place. She has a lot of work to do, but she's putting it in.
That's awesome. Yes. That's wonderful. That actually, because my next question was going to be, you know, what it was like being a female in that profession.
Oh, my God, it's hard. And black, let's be honest here.
Let's be honest here.
It's very hard. Keep it 100. It's very hard. There was opportunities for me to move up. I won't deny that, but I feel like where I am, I have more interaction with the people, and that's why I'm there for the people. I'm not there for the management or the supervisor. I don't need to have a title to define who I am. Anywhere I walk in that building, I'm respected. That's more important to me than making a couple extra dollars or, you know, having this title. Once you transition over to different positions, then there's a lot of things that you're not involved in. And what I do is more important to me than the dollars, if that makes sense.
Right.
You know, a few years ago when I first got there, I would have loved to have that position, that title, that money, because I had little people I had to support. But my children are all grown now, and they take care of themselves, and I do okay for me. So I'm comfortable with being where I am because I know I'm more beneficial to the people that it's important to.
Right.
You know, I don't know if I could not have that interaction with them on a daily basis.
Right. No, and I love that. You know what I mean? Because that's like I said, that's so refreshing. You know what I mean? Because you're there for the right reasons. You know what I mean? You're not doing it for the paycheck. You're not doing it because, you know what I mean? It's something that you need to do to make ends meet. It's something that you actually care about.
Yes, yes. I have grown to love what I do. So when I go to work, it's not even like really going to work.
Right.
And they can't wait till I get there. I'm on for 2 days. Oh my God. My first 2 hours is full of stories of what I missed for 2 days, you know? And I enjoy it. I enjoy it. I appreciate the fact that they appreciate what I do for them. It really makes me feel good. So again, I don't know that I want to. My husband be at me all the time. Oh, you don't want to take this job, take that job. But he's just on the outside. He doesn't really, you know, understand what I see every day.
Yeah, the connections and everything.
Yes, yes. But yes, it's a very interesting place. I never saw myself working in the jail, by the way.
Yeah, I was gonna ask. So you said for 15 years. So like before that, did you have any experience in the industry? Or?
Well, when I lived in New York City, I worked in group homes with teenage girls from the ages of 13 to 21, which was also something, you know, that I liked doing.
Yeah.
So when I got here, it was like, oh my God, these jobs don't really pay. Like the prison is what's paying, and they got the benefits, and you know, I got kids to support. So I went into it, you know, in the beginning with that mentality. Yeah. I knew people. I could deal with people, you know, of all walks of life. I'm not into the whole racist thing, you know, everybody is listening to me. So I knew I would do okay, but I never thought that, you know, I would be so passionate about it because, like I said, going there for 15 years, it becomes a part of your life.
Yeah, because that's a long time. I mean, that's about as long as I've known y'all since, you know what I mean, since y'all moved to PA.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, as soon as I moved here, I started working there, and I've been there ever since.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Funny story. My mom was going through training. They had the pepper spray on one of the days.
Oh, my God.
Man, that was home. It was like 3 hours later, she was still like, it still burned.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that, man. I see them videos.
But they do that. They do that, and she'll tell you, they do that so you don't do that to people all the time because you know what it feels like. So
right.
That comes to be one of your last resorts when you work on people. You just want to try to converse the things out versus...
Which actually, that's like one of the first things recommended on the fourth continuum. You know, they want you to use that to gain control. You know, my thing is communication.
Mm.
Communication for me has always been key. I know where you're coming from, you know where I'm coming from, and we can make this thing work.
Right.
You know, and a lot of times they have truth to what they're trying to say, they just don't know how to say it.
Right.
It comes off wrong, and then, you know, that makes everything a lot worse.
So, definitely. Open communication can resolve so many issues, and it seems to be the last resort instead of the first.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And everybody's entitled to how they feel. You can't, it doesn't matter how long I sit here and talk to you, I can't change the way you feel.
Right.
And if I did change the way you feel, then I don't know that I like that because, you know, we have to be different. That's what makes the world go round. We also have to learn to respect each other's space and agree to disagree.
Right.
And we cool.
Right.
And that's pretty much, you know, what it takes. And it's not a lot of space in jail. That creates a lot of problems.
Yeah. Hostility, you know what I mean? You don't get your space. You know what I mean? It's everybody on top of everybody. Ain't nobody happy.
Right. Right. But you have to understand that you put yourself here and this is the situation and you got to get through it. It's temporary. This is not the rest of your life. You're here for temporary purposes and then you move on. You make this thing in the past.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Which is beautiful because it leads right into the quote that I have for today. Two things prevent us from happiness: living in the past and observing others.
Oh my God, yes. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that played like beautifully because I was like, man, I don't know what I want for the quote today. And you walked right into it. I love it.
I'm definitely going to use that. I like that.
Yeah, that's a really good one. Miss Val, I want to thank you again, you know, for coming on the show because you definitely brought a different light to what most people think of correctional officers.
Yes.
And that's, you know, that's big. That's impactful. I also wanted to ask you, so Marcellus told a story and I want to fact check this. So he said, the reason y'all moved to PA is because y'all seen a billboard that said to move to Lebanon, PA.
No.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, no, you said it was billboards, dog.
No, I didn't. I said,
you said it was billboards.
I said a kid was killed over a JanSport book bag. My mom saw it on the news, and a few months later, we were gone.
Like, yes. maybe I got my stories confused. All right. Okay.
So yes, I actually, when I went back to visit, probably about 2 years later, the billboards came about.
Okay.
I did have a girlfriend that lived here who, you know, said that it was a little quiet town to raise your children. The struggle in the city was real. I didn't want to lose my children to those streets. And Marcellus is correct. This young man was killed over a $30 book bag.
That's
so broke
crazy.
My heart. I couldn't imagine feeling, you know, what his mom was going through. So I took a chance on moving to a smaller town to give my children a better life because, you know, let's be real here. They are Black and men. And growing up in this world is super rough. So I gave them that opportunity. But no, it wasn't from a billboard.
Okay. Right. Yeah, all right. I may have my stories confused with another New Yorker I talked to.
It might have been, yes. Because like I said, shortly after, they were posted everywhere, in the train stations, everywhere, you know, and I think this town has come a long way since then, but they were struggling for people to, you know, live here because the population was so small, but it has grown tremendously, I must say.
Yeah, the town is growing. There's a lot of things going on in there. I like to watch it from afar.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree, but you know what? Somebody got to stay here.
Right. Yeah, my mom's still back there, too. So, you know, I tend to come in town every now and again.
Right. Yeah, and that's the purpose. You know, that's the purpose for you guys to grow up and go out there and do different. So, like I said, I'm proud of you guys. Y'all out there doing your thing. Y'all got your families and y'all working and doing positive things to get back to, you know, everybody, and that's important. That's what we need.
Thank you. We're trying to do our thing. You know, Marcellus is going to be out here in Texas. You know what I mean? I'm hoping you'll come visit us.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I'll
I
be
got
there.
Sure. Thanksgiving, man.
Thanksgiving at Marcellus' house. I'll be there.
We in there. The weather's lovely out here. You'll love it.
Yes, I love to meet your family.
Yes, ma'am.
Definitely. I've been there actually a couple times because, you know, my grandson ain't too far from you.
Yeah. I forgot. Yeah, that's right.
Right. I gotta get out there. I have actually my cousin I just saw last weekend at the wedding lives out there as well. So, who knows what the future holds?
Right. For sure. Right? For sure. You never know. Because I never thought I'd be out here in Texas.
Right. It is a beautiful state.
It is. Let's talk about music, though. So Marcellus said you had some favorite artists.
Oh, my God, yes. Mary J. Blige.
Uh-huh.
I love Jaheim. He's one of my faves. And
I think I like a lot of the older music back in like the 70s because that's what I listened to when I was growing up. I'm not up to date by no means with the hip hop. I don't know none of the babies. I just know they stay out here. But I don't know who's who. I just know that they out there. I think I stopped back in the Jay-Z days.
In the Jay-Z era, that's when you stopped keeping up.
That's when I stopped. If you pass that, then I'm lost.
I ain't mad at you. I'm a big Jaheim fan myself. Back in the day, when I had my braids, I used to try to have mine designed like his. So I was a big Jaheim fan.
Okay. He give you that good music, right?
Yeah, you know that Woman First. I mean, that's a classic right there.
Absolutely.
That is a classic. I dig it. Marcellus, what you been listening to lately, man?
Wait, can you?
Everything.
Yeah, he has been. He has been back and forth lately, man. What's been on the playlist?
I'm not a big Thug fan, but he just made that Slime Language 2, and he basically assembled the Avengers.
I did peep you on that one, man. I'm gonna have to check that one out.
That dude put everybody that's prime right now on one album.
Yeah, those joint albums, man. I feel like we need more of them because those are like when DJ Khaled and was bringing everybody together for like We the Best and all them albums. Those were the best for me.
Exactly.
Those were the best for me. I've been really heavy on R&B lately. Georgia Smith got a new song, Addicted.
That song's like, fire.
Yeah, I love it. The Real Affair, the remix with Tiana Major, another great one. And I never thought I'd be saying this in 2021, but Justin Bieber has a banger.
Yeah.
Peaches. Yeah, if you listen to Peaches, man, it's a good song. It's one of those feel-good songs. You could play it with the windows down. On a nice sunny day, you could play that song with the windows down. You'll feel good about it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, he did pretty good, though. I mean, I do know who he is. I never was really into his music, but he has some songs that I do know.
Yeah, for sure. He came on the scene, did his thing, then faded away, and I guess he's back. But it's a good song. I think so.
I'm going to check that out for sure.
He's actually my favorite part of that song because the other people, I'm like, eh.
Yeah? No, you don't like everybody else on the track?
It's just not how they sound on that specific song.
Okay. Yeah, there are a few like that. I dig it. Well, Mrs. Bad, we don't want to take up your time. Like I said, thank you so much for coming on the show. We greatly appreciate it. And you know what I mean? I'm looking forward to seeing you.
It was my pleasure. Yes, I will be there. I don't know. I might pop up before November, but I'll definitely be there for Thanksgiving.
Sounds good.
Sure, that's a date.
For sure. We'll lock it in. Well, until next time, everybody, positivity, prosperity, peace.
Bye.